This is a special edition of NPR on Health. I'm Joe Neal. During July, NPR is broadcasting a series of in-depth reports on the radio about the universal healthcare systems of five European countries. In this podcast, we'll hear about France. NPR's Joseph Shapiro traveled to France this spring and learned a lot about how the French are able to provide healthcare for about half the cost of the U.S. In the first of two stories in this podcast, he focuses on how the country cares for mothers and their babies. He starts out the story by talking to experts who explain how the system works. Then he talks to two young American mothers who live in France.
In 2000, the World Health Organization rated healthcare around the world. France came in first. The United States ranked 37th. And this year, two researchers at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine measured something called amenable mortality. Basically, it's a measure of deaths that could have been prevented with good health care. Again, France came in first. The U.S. was last. Now some American experts, like historian Paul Dutton at Northern Arizona University, say there's a lot we can learn from the French. For starters, says Dutton, the French system is not what most Americans imagine.
Well, I think that Americans assume that if it's in Europe, which France is, that it's socialized medicine. The French don't consider their system socialized. In fact, they detest socialized medicine. That's for the French, that's the British. That's the Canadians. It's not the French system.
France, like the U.S., relies on both private insurance and government insurance. Also, just like in the States, people generally get their insurance through the place where they work. In France, everyone has health care. Unlike in Britain and Canada, there are no waiting lists to get elective surgery or see a specialist. Dutton wrote a book called Differential Diagnoses that compares the history of healthcare in the two countries. He says Americans, like the French, want pretty much the same thing, choice and more choice.
I found that the ideals that French and Americans held in terms of healthcare, specifically wanting choice of doctor, and doctors wanting really a lot of freedom of clinical decision making. Both peoples want a private physician and lots of choice within the hospital system.
Dutton says these shared values come out of a shared history. Both countries are products of Enlightenment-era revolutions.
The French hold individual liberty and social equality very dear, right? Liberty, equality, and fraternity, of course, the slogan of their revolution. And in this country, of course, we have similar ideals, individual liberty, social equality, equal chances for everyone.
But Dutton says the French have done a better job of protecting those values in healthcare. Here's how the French healthcare system works. The National Insurance Program is funded mostly by payroll and income taxes. Those payments go to several quasi-public insurance funds that then negotiate with medical unions to set doctors' fees. The government regulates most hospital fees. That's how France keeps costs down. When someone goes to see a doctor, the National Insurance Program pays 70% of the bill. Most of the other 30% gets picked up by supplemental private insurance, which almost everyone has. It's easily affordable, and much of it gets paid for by the place where you work. Victor Rodwin at New York University and the International Longevity Center studies the French healthcare system.
There are no uninsured in France.
Does anyone ever go broke over their personal healthcare costs in
France? No, that's completely unheard of. There is no case of anybody going broke over their healthcare costs. In fact, the system is so designed that for the 3 or 4 or 5% of the patients who are the very sickest, those patients are exempt from their copayments to begin with. There are no deductibles.
That's another lesson from the French system. In France, the sicker you are, the more coverage you get. For people with one of 30 long-term and expensive illnesses, including diabetes, mental illness, and cancer, the government picks up 100% of their healthcare costs. For surgeries, therapies, even for the most expensive drugs. When compared to people in other countries, the French live long and healthy lives. Rodwin says that's because good care starts at birth.
When you're a new mother, you're very well taken care of in France. They take very good care of their mothers when they're pregnant. There's, of course, no problem of uninsured mothers. They get good prenatal care, and they have house visitors, nurses who come to the house and help the mothers in the first week.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Oh, here you go.
On a recent spring morning, Mary Lou Sarrazin, a young American mother married to a French husband, comes to a park with her baby daughter.
You're so cute.
Sarrazin came to Paris to teach English. She'd tell her teenage students about life in the States.
So when I was explaining to them the concept of health care and health insurance, oh la 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 la. I mean, they were so shocked that if you were sick and you did not have health insurance, you could go bankrupt. To them, that made absolutely, positively no sense because America is seen as the greatest country in the world.
When her teaching job ended and her visa expired, she returned to the U.S. and then was surprised to find herself among those 47 million Americans with no health insurance. She was pregnant and unemployed, and no insurer would sell her health insurance. So she moved back to Paris to have the baby. In France, there's months of paid job leave for mothers who work. Johnson got a child allowance that went for things like buying diapers.
You're the prettiest baby I've ever seen.
Her daughter, Ludovine, was born in November.
You don't walk, nor can you talk, but somehow you stole my heart, oh yeah. Let's do the Ludovine dance.
Mother and baby get approving smiles from people who pass by. Mary Lou says pregnant women and new mothers seem to hold a special status here.
In France, it just seems that it's so family-oriented. A pregnant woman is seen and regarded as a very special moment.
But it wasn't so special back in the United States. She came to Paris to teach English. She got pregnant. She married. Her visa expired, so she returned to New York to complete her graduate studies and to have the baby at home. But already pregnant, she couldn't find insurance she could afford. She did get some coverage through New York Medicaid, the state program for the poor and uninsured. But that just covered her prenatal care. Once the baby was born, she'd be uninsured again.
I just feel like when I was in New York, it's always like stress, stress, stress. I just didn't like the care I was receiving, and I didn't want to stress out about something that I shouldn't have to stress out, not during the time of my pregnancy.
So Mary Lou headed back to Paris. Today, she says she misses the United States, but if she and her French husband have more children, she says they'll stay in France.
Bonjour. Hi. Hi, sweetie.
We meet a second American mother, Tanya Blumstein. She and her husband, Thomas Lachronique, pick up their 14-month-old daughter, Ella, at the apartment of a neighborhood daycare provider. Even this private daycare is heavily subsidized by their French health insurance. After college, Tanya moved to France to work in the film industry. She met Thomas, but then his company sent him to work in New Jersey, so they traveled back and forth. When Tanya got pregnant, she moved to Manhattan to be with him. And there, she tried to buy health insurance for herself. Every American insurer turned her down. The reason? She was pregnant. Although the insurance agents had their own, less pleasant ways of describing it.
Because they said we don't insure a house on fire. I had a pre-existing condition, which was pregnancy. I couldn't believe it.
In the States, Thomas had Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance, but Tanya couldn't get on his policy because they weren't married yet. So?
We got married.
Down to City Hall in New York.
It wasn't the wedding they'd planned.
A lot of people don't even know we're married because I want to do something, you know, as we had hoped to do, a little more spiritual than, you know, next.
Once they were married, Tanya did get on her husband's insurance. But even then, they found the American system daunting. Tanya pulls out a stack of papers from that time.
I have my notes here. I was trying to navigate all this. And so my questions, I was like, wait, what is deductible out of network? What is coinsurance? Will they pay at New York rate if submitted to local? Because it was a New Jersey thing. And, you know, first visit, 3,000, follow up, 175, out of pocket, L&D packages, 5,000.
Tanya and Thomas loved living in New York and to be in a country where there's so much choice and it's so easy to be a consumer. Except, as they found out, when it comes to health care.
Everything is so simple when you want to get a cab or rent a car, eat fast food. But once it gets to serious issues, your health, then it gets hellish. Really, it's really complicated.
So Tanya left Thomas in New York and returned to Paris to have her baby. Thomas later changed jobs to be with his family in France.
The French system, it's easy. It's clear. For example, this is something after Ella was born. And it says, I'm translating in French, since the birth of your daughter, Ella, the health insurance covers all of the fees And it explains, you know, in the third month, between this date and this date, fourth month, fifth month, sixth month, and this, no matter what, you don't even pay a cent.
There's a neighborhood health clinic where she can show up with the baby anytime, even without an appointment. And when Ella got a stomach flu earlier this year, a doctor made a house call at 3 in the morning on a Sunday. It was all paid for by health insurance. This is the kind of comprehensive coverage that gets France's healthcare rated the best in the world by the World Health Organization. One key to making the system work are the local government nurses who make home visits to pregnant women and the parents and their babies. Today, the nurse is wearing black Chuck Taylors. Nadege Ertebis is making a home visit to the brightly painted apartment of a mother and father whose son was born 2 weeks ago, here in the town of Chartres.
Comment allez-vous?
Ah, ça va.
Ça fait deux semaines, c'est bon.
The nurse asks about how the baby sleeps and eats. She tells the parents about vaccination schedules, well baby visits, and about their options for subsidized daycare. She weighs the baby, then watches the mother breastfeed to see if there are any problems. The visit takes an hour. It costs the young parents nothing. There's not even any paperwork to sign.
Merci, bon courage.
One thing the nurse doesn't do is the family's laundry. Americans may think otherwise, especially if you saw the Michael Moore documentary Sicko. There's a memorable scene where a state worker goes to a new mother's home to do her wash. Back at the nurse's office, I meet her boss, Dr. Marie-Paul Martin. She saw Sicko, too.
I had a great laugh. With Michael Moore, it's very caricatural.
A caricature, she says, because only on occasion, like when there's a medical complication after birth, does a state-paid housekeeper do a mother's laundry. Still, even without laundry service, the French health system ran almost $9 billion in deficit last year. That's forced cuts in some health care. But the basic benefits to mothers and their children remain the same. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.
There's more on universal health care in Europe at our website, npr.org. You can find an interactive chart there that compares the U.S. with the five countries in the series, plus Japan. And now for a second view of France from Joseph Shapiro. This time he looks at how the French care for a long-term disease like cancer. Joe starts out by explaining some of the basics of the French system to NPR's Michel Norris, a host of All Things Considered.
American voters say health care is one of the top two or three issues they want the next president to address. Nearly one in five Americans is uninsured. But for most Western Europeans, the idea that everyone has health insurance is something that's taken for granted. You might assume that people with universal coverage have to give up the right to choose their own doctors and hospitals. But in France, patients have universal coverage and lots of choice. And France is the latest stop for our series on European healthcare. NPR's Joseph Shapiro went to France. Where exactly did you go?
I started in Paris, but then I went down to this beautiful countryside in southwest France.
Oh, you're making me jealous. What did you find?
I found a country that has a universal insurance program, and it's funded mostly with payroll and income taxes. And that universal insurance does pay for almost all the care people get, but not all, so there's also private insurance to pay for the rest. And that extra insurance is affordable. Almost everyone has it. In fact, usually it's paid for by your employer in part or totally.
So how does that compare to what we find here where people say it's often not affordable?
Well, workers in France are required to pay what adds up to about 21% of their income into this national health care system. But employers do pick up about half of that. And so although Americans, we don't pay as much in taxes, Americans do end up paying more for health care when you add in the costs of buying insurance and the higher out-of-pocket expenses for medicines, doctors, hospitals. France's health care system is one of the most expensive in the world. But the U.S. has the most expensive. And here we spend about twice as much per person compared to France.
What accounts for that difference?
In France, they control costs, doctors get paid less, and government sets most hospital costs.
Joe, what struck you most, other than cost, about the differences between the U.S. and France?
I think it's that in France, the sicker you are, the more the government pays for. I want to show you what we found when we spent time with two people in France who are dealing right now with difficult cancers.
Let's take a listen.
We met Annie Hubert at the Bergeny Institute, a cancer clinic in Bordeaux. She came for a CAT scan, which she gets every 4 months to check the size of her tumors.
This is the, what is called a day hospital, where you have your chemotherapy. There is a great privacy, which is not often the case with chemotherapies. Often it looks like, you know, the cows being put in. And here, privacy is really important. So I'll show you.
She'd had breast cancer years before. Then 4 years ago, it came back, creeping into her bones, liver, and lungs. Hubert is thin. Her skin is pasty. Her eyes are bright.
I live with cancer now for 14 years. You're really used to it. And for 4 years, you know, these very regular checkups, I'm used to it too. It's just part of life. If I were 30, I suppose I would see things differently, but I'm 67. So everybody has to die one day. I probably die from this disease. I don't know when. I live with it.
And live with it she has, and as normally as possible. Today she's brought a copy of her most recent book and inscribed it for a friend. Hubert is an anthropologist. After her cancer, she got a grant from the French government to study how doctors communicate with patients.
I'm a good anthropologist because I'm doing what the French call observation participante. Nothing equals experience to understand things.
Maybe it's Hubert's upbeat attitude that allows her to keep doing the work she loves. But it's also, in no small part, thanks to France's healthcare system. Everyone in France gets health insurance. And when someone has a difficult disease like cancer, the national health system steps in and pays for 100% of their care. Unlike in the U.S., you don't need to stay in your job to keep your insurance, nor is there a lifetime limit on how much treatment a long-term survivor like Annie Hubert can get. A young doctor in a white lab coat comes quietly into the room.
This is my doctor.
Marc Deblay.
Here's another thing that stands out about France. Cancer care is well organized. To treat patients, a hospital or a clinic has to prove it meets national standards for high-level care. At this clinic, oncologist Marc Deblay and his team coordinate every aspect of Hubert's care. She can call the doctor anytime with any question or concern. And although this is a country where doctors for a long time simply told patients what to do, that's changing.
Now we discuss more and more with patients, and we decide together what treatment to do.
You're not considered as, you know, an illiterate, something that, you know, you're going to be treated as, you know, like a sheep in the country.
Nor has Hubert had to fight with insurance companies or worry about getting access to her expensive therapies.
Never, ever, for any, which is incredible. I mean, I have friends who have cancer and had cancer in America, and they can't believe it. It's a tremendous difference. Now, I have a son-in-law who has MS.
That son-in-law and her daughter live in California. He has multiple sclerosis.
Even with good insurance, he still has to spend, several hundred dollars a month for his treatment.
At France's new National Cancer Institute, Dr. Fabien Calvo is in charge of research. He talks about something unheard of in the U.S. In France, every cancer patient can get any drug, including the most expensive and even experimental ones that are still being tested.
As soon as there is a breakthrough, even if the drug has not obtained the approval, you can get access for that.
That access to any medication is one reason why France, in a study this year, was rated the best among industrialized nations at preventing avoidable deaths. The U.S. came in last. There's another difference. In France, even most people who aren't citizens are covered by the universal insurance program. Like Brian Coote. 3 years ago, he and his wife, Julie, retired early and moved from outside London to southwest France.
Well, this was an old farmhouse. We don't quite know how old it is, but probably 200 or 300 years. And we've completely renovated it.
From this stone house on a hill, Coote looks across the farms of the gently rolling Dordogne Valley. The Coots rent out cottages to tourists. He's 57 and athletic. He's an avid hiker. But he started having stomach problems in the spring of last year. At first, his rural general practitioner dismissed it as nothing serious.
At the end of June, I'm doing this big walk in the Pyrenees, the mountains, and I had to stop after 3 days and come home. And that sort of said, well, there's something here that's not normal for me.
It took until mid-September to get the diagnosis that should have come months earlier. He had colon cancer. Coote faults his first doctor, but he says once he got to a surgeon, he's received excellent care. Now there's even a nurse who makes home visits. she drives all the way to this farmhouse in the country where Brian and Julie live.
Well, she knows me well. And when I came out of hospital after the operation, she was here every day to check the dressing. And
she also comes to do a blood test just before the chemo. If chemo is on a Monday, she comes on a Saturday to take the blood test.
Still, in a country that's so generous, it's hard to control rising healthcare costs. Last year, the National Health Insurance Fund ran nearly $9 billion in deficit. The government looked for ways to cut costs. Last fall, just as Brian Coote began his treatment, the government announced it would no longer pay for healthcare for foreign retirees like the Coots.
I did, in the back of my head, kind of think, this is ludicrous. They cannot possibly do it. It means that people are going to die.
There are some 200,000 British expatriates living in France, and their numbers give them power. They petitioned and protested, and in January, the government reversed itself. Many British expatriates say they're here in part because they don't trust the British healthcare system. Brian Coote isn't one of them, but he does appreciate the healthcare he's gotten since his surgery in France. It allows him to continue to live in this stunning corner of the world, even as he battles a difficult cancer. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.
That's it for this special edition of NPR on Health. You can always hear more health stories on your local NPR station. You can find a list of them at our website, npr.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Joe Neal, NPR News.